Well, good day, my friends. Welcome to Radio Pulpit, your companion in the search for meaning. And it's such a joy to have this next 30 minutes just to share with you some moments of encouragement and blessing and just to consider together some of the elements of our faith. And you're tuned into The Ministry in Me. And this is Dr. Dion Foster, your host for the next 30 minutes. And I'm looking forward to sharing some of what God's been laying on my heart and some of what I've had feedback from listeners to the program. And hopefully there are one or two little nuggets here, one or two things that might inspire you or challenge you or offer you some encouragement in your daily life in ministry. And of course, that's the reason for this program, The Ministry in Me. It's intended to be a program in which we offer some encouragement, some insight, and we help you to discover how you can get the very best out of every single part of your life for ministry. You know, it's almost like when I go for a hamburger at one of the local hamburger joints. Boy, I don't want to leave a single thing on my plate. Sometimes I even eat the garnishing, hey? That little bit of tomato and lettuce. And that's what the Lord wants from us in our lives. God wants us to use every single thing that we are and everything that we do in order to bring Him glory and to achieve His will. God places us in community and with people and around people in order to be a blessing and to be blessed. Well, friends, just to say, as we go through the program, if there is anything that touches you and you'd like someone to talk to or someone to pray with you around a particular issue, then I would encourage you to phone us at Radio Pulpit. And that number is a Pretoria number. And just ask for the counseling line and one of the folks there will gladly offer you some advice or pray with you. The number is Pretoria code 012-334-1200. I'll give that to you again. It's Pretoria 012-334-1200. And of course, you can also reach me directly. If you'd like to send me an email or get hold of me to share an insight or a thought, I've got so many wonderful emails from friends who are listening in who occasionally just drop me a line to say, hey, Dion, won't you pray for this? Or I need some advice about this or that particular thing. I'm always happy to receive those and I try to respond to them as quickly as possible. And you can do that by sending the email to digitaldion@gmail.com. Digital Dion is spelled digitaldion@gmail.com. Well, enough of that. Now, what I want to talk about today is something that I think all of us struggle with to varying degrees in our life, and that is the threat of busyness. You know, I've come to realize that if the devil wants to make me ineffective and rob me of my opportunity to be conscious of the people and the places where I am at every moment in the day, if the devil wants to stop me from making the best of every opportunity to serve Christ and to bless those around me, the best way in which the devil does that is he brings about busyness. Or sometimes I bring it on myself and the devil capitalizes on that to distract my attention, to dissipate my energy, to rob me of the joy of what I'm doing. And I find myself suddenly in a state in life where not only am I not blessed, but I'm not able to be a blessing to others. Does that sound familiar to you? Have you ever been in that kind of a situation? Maybe you're there right now. More things on your to-do list than you have time to do. Well, friends, the good news is that in the kingdom of God, busyness is not always intended to be an enemy. We can learn to cope with busyness and with the many demands that we face. And as long as we're intentional about them, as long as we're particular about planning for those times, we can use them to God's honor and glory. But of course, one of the ways in which we do that, one of the ways in which we learn to become present to all of the tasks and moments and people and expectations of our day is to present them to the Lord. We need to create some space, some place in our day where we can begin to pray through the issues that we're facing. Now, I don't care whether you're a pastor of a church with 6,000 members, or whether you're a pastoring a home cell with six members, whether you're a mother who is the CEO of a big corporation or a stay-at-home dad who's looking after your kids. It doesn't matter what role you fulfill in society or what the expectations are around you. Each and every single one of us has to find the capacity and the space to prepare ourselves to face every task every relationship with godly intention. Now, I want to read to you just a few verses from one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Luke chapter 10, which you would have heard me speak about quite a few times, particularly because of that wonderful evangelistic model we find at the beginning of Luke chapter 10. But today I'm wanting to read about a particular account where Jesus went to the home of two sisters, Martha and Mary. And yes, if you know your Bible well, you know that I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And I want to encourage you, as you hear me reading this, don't you want to just think for a moment about the characters in the story, Mary and Martha, and just imagine yourself in those situations and ask yourself sometimes, how do you feel about the things that are put on your plate to do, whether they're put there by the Lord or whether they're just the things that every person has to do in their life, cooking food and cleaning or going to work every day. How do you feel about it? Resentful or blessed? Let's listen to Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all of the preparations that had to be made. And so she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work for myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed." Isn't that interesting? And it's interesting to see how that sentence is structured. Jesus says, "You are upset about many things," and then he places it all in its correct perspective. He says, "But only one thing is needed." Now, it's interesting that he uses the word needed. Okay? Verse 42 says, "Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So Jesus makes it very clear that sitting at his feet and listening to what he has to say is not only a desired thing, it is something that is needed. You know, I like to read what people have to say about busyness because I work in a corporate environment as a marketplace minister, as someone who tries to encounter people in their faith life, in the place where they work. A lot of my time is spent around very, very busy people. People who come into work, they've got a lot of tasks they need to perform, and somehow I've got to try and help them to find meaning and blessing in what they do, to connect it to the greater principles of what God wants. And so I like to read a little bit about busyness and productivity. Well, I read a little while ago about an amazing thing that was suggested that in 1967, experts predicted that by 1985, so that is how many years ago now? 15 plus 9, 26 years ago. By 1985, technology would have taken over so much of the work that we do that the average work week for a person would only be 22 hours long, and that the average work year would only be 27 weeks. And so they predicted, as a result of this incredible automation, that things would become so automated and efficient that people would be worrying about what they had to do with all of their spare time. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but sometimes technology tends to complicate my life. It doesn't make things easier. It just makes them worse. You know, Stephen Wright, the comedian, once made a funny little quip. He said he traded in his regular fireplace for a microwave fireplace because it says it saves him a lot of time. Now he can spend a whole evening in front of the fire in only 8 minutes. And isn't that true? We've become a culture, a society, a people who are driven by getting things done, lots of things done and getting them done quickly. Now that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's good to be productive and it's good to get things done. But one of the great problems with this is often it distracts us from recognizing what God is doing with us and what God wants to do through us. You know, the American missionary Don Seymour once commented, he said, "Don't just do something, stand there." I'm sure we've all heard the saying, "Don't just stand there, do something." Well, he turned that on its head. And he said, "Don't just do something, stand there." And you know that that's so true. John Wesley, one of the great revivalists of the church in the 17th and 18th century, is believed to have said that the busier his day was, the more time he had to spend in prayer. Now, how does it work for you? How do you work with that? When you've got busyness to do, do you tend to squeeze out things that are most important and replace them with the things that are urgent? I think all of us tend to struggle with that. You know, I tend to do that. Let me illustrate it for you in this way. Something that is urgent is something that demands your attention immediately. It may not be the most important thing, but it's urgent. Let me illustrate it in this way. You're sitting at the dinner table and you're eating together as a family, and suddenly the telephone rings. Now, that's something urgent because the sound is annoying and it may be someone who wants to get hold of you. So you pick up the telephone and you answer it because it is urgent. But is answering the telephone during your family time more important than the time you would have spent with your husband, your wife, or your kids? Can you see the difference between important and urgent? Now, this is the thing that Jesus is dealing with in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. He's setting up a little bit of a tension between what Mary and Martha were facing in their lives. One of them was dealing with urgent things, preparing the meal for the guests who had come. And particularly, of course, in that particular culture, caring for your guests and being hospitable was a very important thing. It was urgent for you to do that when they arrived, to prepare for them. But Mary was doing something which was much more important. She was dedicating herself to the Lord. So what I want to talk about very briefly is today I want you to just learn a couple of lessons about why it's important to structure not only your day, but your week, your month, and your year around taking time out to just be in God's presence. You know that I have this as a discipline. I try and take time every day, what traditionally has been called a quiet time. I try and take time to pray, to journal, to read the scriptures, and most importantly, just to be quiet. I try and take some time every week, just 1 or 2 hours, where whether it's on my bicycle, just being alone, or whether it's literally just isolating myself, just to take some time late at night or early in the morning, just to be in God's presence. I try and do it once a year. I go on a 4-day retreat where I go off with some other Christians and practice the discipline of silence and just really allow God to speak to me. But why is it important for us to have this? Well, here are a couple of pointers. The first reason why it's important for us to take time out like Mary was doing and sit at the feet of the Lord is because there is a constant need to reevaluate our priorities. You know, Paul's words to the Romans in Romans chapter 12, verse 2 are so wonderful. It says, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold." That's the Phillips translation. I like that. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. And we need to recognize as Christians that we have a responsibility to be different, and particularly if you have leadership responsibility. If you're leading a cell group or a church, or if you're leading your family, or if you are the spiritual leader in your workplace, if there's no one else who's taking the lead in leading in your workplace, you need to be careful that you don't get pressed into the mold of the world. You see, it's so easy to fall in with the expectations and attitudes of those around us. And sometimes the pressure of the crowd can send us in completely the wrong direction. Remember what the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It says, "I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." Now listen to this. It says, "Live such good lives amongst the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." You see, we are called to be different, to live our lives to the honor and glory of God. And we are called to do that in every possible way. And we are called to do it, as 1 Peter says, amongst the pagans, amongst those who do not believe. They need to see something of the goodness of being constantly connected with Christ and desire and long to have the same. Now, sometimes the very best thing that you can do in order to get that orientation is you can simply stop. Stop and take stock of where you are and say, what is it that God desires for this moment, for this place, and amongst these people? Perhaps you need to take some time every now and then in your life, and you just need to look around you and say, am I being squeezed into the mold of the world? Or am I something different here? Am I salt and light in this place? Now, the second reason why it's important for us to take time preparing ourselves daily, weekly, yearly to discover God's will and purpose for ourselves is that it is only by waiting on God that we can be spiritually re-energized and renewed. You know, the scripture contains a very simple and clear teaching that says what you sow, you're going to reap. And I find that a very interesting thing. I'm always amazed at how many of us try to reap spiritual growth through physical activity. Let me say that again. We try to reap spiritual growth through physical activity. We think that if we can just do another course or attend another teaching or go to another seminar, that we're going to grow spiritually. Now, those things are good. I'm not saying that they're bad. It's good for us to learn and good for us to grow. But friends, there is no better way to grow than by just sowing time with God. I find that in my relationship with my wife and my children. The more time I spend with them specifically on them and on their things and on their priorities, the deeper our relationship grows. And this is another thing. We need to recognize that we are wired in such a way, we are created by God in such a way that we need not only physical training and exercise in order to remain strong and healthy in our bodies, we need to develop relationships that are good and strong and supportive for our emotional side, but you know that we need the same thing for our spirits. We need to set aside time so that we can be spiritually strengthened and renewed in order to cope with what is going on around us. Very often I deal with people who are going through incredible struggles. And one of the reasons why they're not coping is because they're not spiritually robust. They've neglected this area in their lives. The prophet Isaiah gives us a pointer about how we can grow spiritually when he says in Isaiah 40 verses 29 to 31, he says, God gives strength to the weary and he increases the power of the weak. Isn't that wonderful? Even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. So let me ask you this question. How are you feeling spiritually today? Are you feeling strongly connected to God? Are you aware of God's presence, God's power, God's provision, God's love? Are you operating in a state of mind that allows you to be able to understand what God's will is in very many situations? Have you got enough love to cope with dealing with the injustices of this world? If you say no to those, then friends, maybe it's time for you to slow down, to stop, to create some space in your week, this week, just to be with the Lord. Remember, you reap what you sow, and the Bible tells us that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, the third thing that I want to say today is not only is it important for us to stop so that we can reevaluate our priorities, not only is it important for us to create that space so that we can be spiritually re-energized and renewed, but it's necessary for us to stop in order to learn from the past. You know, someone once said to me, history is a great teacher and experience is a hard teacher. And you know, I find it so sad when I see myself or someone else repeating the same mistakes again and again and again. You know, I've discovered that history is, in fact, a very good teacher, but that I'm a bad student. Have you ever thought about that? People often say we learn from our mistakes or we learn from our past. Well, friends, that's simply not true. We don't learn from them unless we reflect upon them. Does that make sense to you? We have to take the time to be intentional to reflect on what has happened to us, both success and failure in our past. And only in setting aside that time and bringing it before Christ in prayer, in systematically looking at the things that we feel happy about and those things that we feel sad about, in breaking them down and saying, what did I do wrong here and how could I have avoided that and what did I do right here and how can I repeat that, do we learn from our past? You know, God is a God of history, and we read that particularly in the Bible. Look at the Old Testament. It's full of the injunction to the Israelites, remember when the Lord your God. And I wonder how many of us cultivate that spiritual discipline of memory. Now, one of the best ways to do this, and it's a way that I follow and I find it particularly useful, is to keep a little journal. And in there I record not only my prayers and the answer to my prayers, but also some of the things that I'm struggling with. And so I want to encourage you, take some time to record what has been happening with you. Put it down on paper, make a few notes, and then every now and then just go back through it and pray it through. And I can guarantee you, you're going to see how your life changes because of that. Okay, number four. The fourth thing that we need to recognize is not only is taking time out with God necessary to reevaluate our priorities, not only does it reconnect us spiritually with God and renew us spiritually, not only does it help us to review the past, but the fourth thing that's important about taking time out is it increases our capacity for gratitude. You know, John Maxwell, the leadership writer, says a thankful heart is a heart that has had time to count its blessings. Isn't that a wonderful saying? A thankful heart is a heart that has found the time or taken the time to count its blessings. Do you remember that story in Luke 17 verses 14 to 17 where Jesus healed the 10 men of leprosy? Do you remember that? Of the 10 men, only one came back to thank the Lord. The others were so caught up in the miracle that they forgot to thank the one who performed the miracle for them. And you know, we need times when we will stop and stop and reflect on all the things in our lives for which we can be thankful. Think about it now just for 1 minute. Think about perhaps your children, your husband or your wife, or the fact that you may have work, or the fact that you've got your health, or whatever it is that you can give thanks for. When last did you stop and say, Lord, it's important that I just take the time not to ask you for something, not to bring it before you as a concern, but just to thank you for what is good. You know, the Psalms are full of reminders that it is our duty to give joy and thanks to the Lord. Go and read Psalm 104 if you want to see more about that. And so I want to ask you, how often do you just stop to give thanks? How often do you just go before the Lord and say, Lord, I just want to bless you? You know that Paul puts it in a wonderful way in Colossians chapter 4 verse 2. He says this, he says, devote yourselves to prayer and being watchful and thankful. Isn't it interesting that he puts those two things together, watch and thank? And sometimes I think that I need to learn to be a little more watchful and thankful. I need to watch my life and see what there is in there that I can celebrate and give thanks for, and I need to bring it before the Lord. So friends, the last thing that I want to say is that finally, taking time out to be in God's presence is important because God has created us to need rest and relaxation so that we can think and act and feel right. So remember we said it's important to take time out because it helps us to reevaluate our priorities. It connects us spiritually to God was the second thing. The third thing we said is it helps us to review our past and learn from it. The fourth thing we said is it increases our capacity for gratitude. But the sixth thing why it's important for us to plan space into our lives, to enter into God's presence and just be silent and quiet, is because we are created to need some downtime. You know, this last weekend I went to Knysna to ride a mountain bike race, a 50-kilometer race, and it was just magnificent. It was wonderful to be out there in the open and just to have my thoughts to myself and just to recapture my sense of strength and relaxation as I was out there. But you know, the one thing that I realized about that particular race was when I started it, I was quite chirpy. You know, I had my wits about me. My legs were feeling strong and my stomach was still full from breakfast and I was energetic and I was chirping all the people around me. But I can tell you by the time I reached about 40 kilometers and I was going up a very steep hill in the middle of the forest, I wasn't quite so chirpy. I became a little bit quiet and bitey, and if someone had said the wrong thing to me, I might have responded inappropriately. I might have hopped at them. You know what I'm talking about? Now, folks, that's just the reality about how all of us are. When our reserves are low, when we're feeling tired, when we're feeling that we're out of control, then it's easy for us to respond inappropriately. And I wonder how much of Martha's response to the Lord in Luke chapter 10 was that kind of tired, resentful, inappropriate response. I wonder how you're feeling about your relationships. Moms, I know that you bear a lot of responsibility in the home, and often you feel that you're taken advantage of. I know some of the dads feel that at work. when you're at work, you feel that people are abusing you, they're using you, they're not pulling their part, and they're expecting too much from you. I want to ask you, what is the most Christian response that you can give to that? How is the best way that God would want you to respond? And I can tell you now that the truth is, God does not want you to respond from a place of anger or bitterness. In fact, as a minister, you need to respond from a place of grace, control, so that you can not only rectify the situation, but witness in doing so. So friends, today I've wanted to encourage you to recognize that in your life, in your ministry, it's important to build some time in order to bless God and bless those around you. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's going to take a sacrifice in order to set it in place, but the rewards are immeasurable. So thanks for listening in for this half hour. And I want to encourage you, if you'd like someone to pray with you or you want to discuss one or two of your priorities, why not phone Radio Pulpit? You can do so on the counseling line, which is Pretoria 012-334-1200. I'll give that number to you again. Pretoria 012-334-1200. And if you'd like to drop me an email, a line on email, I'd love to hear from you and pray with you about what you're going through. You can send your email to digitaldion@gmail.com. That's digitaldion@gmail.com. And I look forward to responding to you. We'll bless you as you create and make the space to be with God in Christ. And remember, all of your work can be worship and the whole of your life can be ministry. Thanks for tuning in to The Ministry and Me. I've been your host, Dr. Dion Foster. Goodbye.